everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another amazing program for you today. The modern day dating world can feel so tedious, but what if it didn't have to be? What if instead you turned your search for love into a fun and enjoyable time? Well, my guest today is Carolyn Lee Arnold. Carolyn has earned graduate degrees in women's studies, statistics, and educational research. She drew upon her 30 years as a social science researcher and 10 years as a relationship workshop assistant to create the Dating Project in her new book called 50 First Dates After 50. As a native Californian from Los Angeles with a New England education, Carolyn found her true home in the San Francisco Bay Area. For more information about Carolyn Lee Arnold or her new book called 50 First Dates After 50, please go to CarolynLeeArnold.com. So welcome to the program, Carolyn. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry, for that great introduction. I'm thrilled to be on your show. I love talking to people like you who know so much about dating already.
Thank you, Carolyn. And I really love what you write about and what you write in your book. So I'm so excited to talk to you about the book and about dating advice that you learned from this project. But first, tell us what inspired you to write the book, 50 First Dates After 50.
Well, thank you, Terry. And thanks for that great introduction, by the way. What really kept me going and made me want to write a book was I was having fun dating, as you said. I was in my late 50s, and I looked around, and some of my women friends were not having fun dating. And the word was, oh, dating's a drag, it's depressing, it's discouraging. And I was having a lot of fun. And I think it was because I set up my dating that I'd be glad to talk about. But my main motivation was, hey, I'm having fun and I want to share that with people. And I was telling my friends the stories, and they did say, you have to share these stories. And then I found my partner this way. So I also wanted to give women hope that you could find your partner, because there's so many, you know, statistics out there. I'm a statistician, the information out there that could be discouraging about finding partners, but really, you know, you only need one. Each of us only needs one, or, you know, unless you want more. and so it's really, I think it's really possible if people want a partner to find one.
I love it. So hopeful. And I agree. I have so many clients, Carolyn, and I hear from so many singles out there that they are discouraged, that they aren't having fun, and that it's so much work to get to know a new partner. So tell listeners, how did setting a goal of 50 dates make dating more enjoyable for you? And how can they make dating fun?
Well, setting the goal was the key, because by having a goal of 50, that I was going to go out on 50 dates in order to explore the types of men I might want to be with. I was breaking up with someone who was a certain type. He was a Buddhist beach boy. And I was a little afraid I would just go for that type again, which was great, but I thought I should widen my scope and see who else would be good for me and who would reflect my life and be a great partner. So I was casting my net not wide, by having a goal of 50, what it did is it allowed me to avoid certain pitfalls that I saw that I had been falling into before, and other older women especially were falling into, which is, one is being afraid that there's no one out there and settling for the first person who comes along and feeling like there's a scarcity idea and that I can't find someone, and so we don't really go for who we want. The other thing is once we put ourselves out there, we get so discouraged that we stop. We get discouraged and say, okay, I can't do this at all. And then the other thing is not even starting because our list is too specific. So and that no one meets the list enough to even go on a first date. I was the way that I was trying to counteract all that was to say, I'm going to go on 50. I'm going to not have a list in the beginning. I'm going to create my list from the people I see. I'm going to kind of just experience different types of men in different situations and see what feels right to me. And I looked at it more as a journey of self-discovery than a journey of, I was looking for a partner, but it wasn't a journey of who's the man, who's the man, who's the man. It was more which type of man would be good for me.
So I like that. I have to stop you, Carolyn, yeah, because I want to repeat everything you've said to make sure that listeners are hearing that it's a journey of self-discovery, that you're doing this information gathering on this fun journey you call dating, rather than who am I picking. And I just want to also repeat the three pitfalls that you mentioned, because so important as well, Carolyn. First, you said that you shouldn't say that no one's out there, and then you just settle for the first person that you date. Second, that you don't get discouraged and just stop. And then third, you said that you don't even start because you think nobody's going to meet your list. So those are three pitfalls that are important, I think, for listeners to hear. So vital and so important, I think, as you're suggesting in your journey to make this self-discovery fun, what we call dating.
Yes. And here's the funny part, Terry. I experienced it as a lot of fun, and I was telling a lot of funny stories to my friends and the ups and downs of dating, ha ha ha. And then I went and wrote all the stories down. I wrote all 50 dates down. I did go on 50. Luckily, there's only about 20 that I really highlight in the book. I don't go through everyone, but when I wrote them all down, I looked at the stories and I went, wait a minute. I got rejected a lot. I actually got discouraged a lot. I mean, I got sad a lot. There's a lot of crying in my book, as someone pointed out, a little too much. I had to cut back on the crying in the book, because just to balance it out, because I did have some good times, but I had kind of not, I'd hardly noticed the downfall because, and here's back to the 50 dates. Each date took on less significance than if I just found a person and dated and then decided yes or no and then found another person. It was like I was tripping lightly through the dates, tripping lightly through the field of flowers. And you know, when we're older, each date does take on so much weight. Like, is this if we're looking for a partner in late in life, we'd either, you know, we had one and now we're trying to find another one. Or I had never had a long-term partner. So I was very invested in finding a partner. But if I had just dated one person, and I had done this actually before, I had been very invested in one person and then it hadn't worked out and I was so sad. And it just takes so much weight. Like, are they the one? So by saying I'm going to go on a lot of dates, it took the weight off each one. So when someone said to me, well, I don't think we're a match, or or didn't call back, didn't email me back after the date, I could say, okay, I wasn't right for him. And sometimes, and often I would say, well, he wasn't right for me either. And then I would just go on to the next person instead of dwelling on why didn't he call, why didn't he think I was right for him. It involved, I had to not only trust myself, but I had to trust the men that they knew what they wanted. And I was looking for someone who I wanted and who wanted me.
Right. So what you're saying then for listeners, Carolyn, is that if they can switch their approach to not looking for the right one necessarily immediately, but taking this as a journey, as you said, of self-discovery, go on many dates to gather information about who's right for them in general. Is that what they should do?
Yes, as many dates as possible, because, you know, dating, I think, as you know, is a numbers game. I believe there are people out there who are right for each person, but you have to find them. They're not going to be at the first party you go to. I mean, some people are lucky and they do meet the first person online that they meet or the first person at the party. But but in general, when you think of the odds, especially when we're older, of finding someone that is really matches your lifestyle and your temperament and who you want to get along with and be with for a long time, you really have to sort through a lot of people.
And I can just hear listeners, Carolyn, you saying, oh, many dates, you went out on 50 dates. What if we imagine that on day 10, you would have found that special someone? What would you have done? Or well, what should they do?
Yeah. Well, I did tell myself, I had this goal, but I did say, because people asked me, well, what if you find someone? I said, okay, if I find the right one, I will abandon my project. Because I would know it was the right one, but it was very unlikely I was going to find the right one in the beginning because I was so open to different types of people. I was dating men. You know, the other thing I did was every man I went out with did not have to look like a potential partner. He just had to be a type. Like I went out with a few spiritual businessmen or a few, artists or a few, high energy people or low energy people. The criteria was I needed to like them and be interested in getting to know them, but they didn't have to match even though I didn't have a list, I did have an image, but they didn't have to match my partner image. So that made it also took the weight again, taking that weight off each date, was really helpful.
And so taking that weight, that stress, that pressure, I think that so many singles, regardless of their age, feel these days will help it make it be fun and more enjoyable. Yeah. Now, one of the things you discuss in your book, Carolyn, is how to take care of yourself while you're dating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. Can you share a little bit about how listeners can make sure that they're taking care of themselves as they're dating lots, as you're saying?
Yeah, if you're dating a lot. Well, the first thing is to recognize that it might be a long-term project. It took me 2.5 years to find my partner. And so if you're not just going to go on a few dates or even 5 or 10 for a few weeks and then get back to your life, you have to build in your own life support systems on this long journey. And I know I was working full time at the time. I know that we don't all have time. So that's, you have to stretch out the dating. But the things that were most supportive of me were having a community of support of friends who I was seeing regularly to touch base. I had a women's group and another co-ed group we actually met with regularly. And I was part of a large community of people who had done these wonderful workshops on relationships. So that's another thing I want to talk about just recommending as a way to get to know people and get relationship skills. But the main thing is to have some sort of community that supports you while you're dating. I mean, it could be your hobbies, it could be a religious group, it could be a political group or a sports group. As long as they are people that you can touch base with emotionally and support you as dating. You know, even married friends sometimes can be really great support for single people. Spending time with them and having them remind you how lovable you are and what a great catch you are. You need positive reinforcement from outside you, and you need to be in contact with other people regularly. The other thing is things you can do for yourself are all the things you've ever heard about taking care of yourself at home. I mean, I was living alone. And so a lot of it was, taking baths, holding my cat, being physical things to do for myself, watching rom-coms, comforting things, self-care, comforting things. Or the other thing was, the other idea is getting non-sexual touch, being touched, if that's important to you. For me, it was important to be having a lot of touching during this project. And one of the things, the best things I found was dancing, going dancing.
Love that.
Yeah, going dancing, whatever you have in your community. We have, besides partner dancing, and like salsa was a big mainstay of my day then, to contact dance, where you kind of rub up against people in a non-sexual way and you're kind of slinking around. And it was just this nice, gentle touch.
Those are such helpful tips and advice, Carolyn, because as people are dating, as you say in your book, and as you just mentioned as well, you do get rejected. There mm-hmm. are some difficult times. There are ups and downs, right? And so when yeah. you have this community of support, when you're practicing self-care, and when you have non-sexual touch, like through these dancing groups, that mm-hmm. can be reminding you of how wonderful you are and your strengths and all the positive qualities that you possess.
Yes. Yes, and that's important to keep in mind. The other big tool, of course, is affirmations for yourself. And there's a lot of books out there about how to do affirmations. I really recommend that, because I was keeping a journal, and a lot of the journal, the purpose of the journal was to talk to myself about what was going on. And so I would talk about the date, I would write about the date, I would talk about how I felt, and really get out my feelings in my journal. And also tell myself I love myself every day, give myself affirmations, write little love notes to myself around the house. I mean, things like that. And every day tell myself really great what I loved about myself.
I love that. Thank you. And I love affirmations. I think they're so important and positive, not only to give to ourselves, but to give to others as well. So how long did the entire project take? When you're talking about 50 dates after 50, what kind of time frame are we talking about?
I didn't know. I was optimistic. I thought I would get it done in 9 months. And I thought, because I wanted to just get that ready, done. But it took 2.5 years.
Okay.
And I did want to say, if people are kind of daunted by choosing a number of people to date, one other option is to choose a time period. Choose, mm-hmm. I'm going to date for 1 year intensely and then take a break. Because what my plan was to take a break after 50. I got close to 50 and I hadn't found my partner. So I was planning to take a break and start over again, because, as I said, I was having so much fun. But another way to do it is a time thing. Do it for a year, take a month off, then do it for a year. Whatever structure works for you to kind of keep you focused, but then give you a break.
Right. I like that too. That's great. And it's all about this approach that you keep talking about when you're going on this journey of dating.
It's an attitude, really. It's an attitude. Right. Like I would go to singles events and some of my friends would say, oh, I never meet anyone there. And that's not the best attitude. I mean, I had gone to singles events and never met anyone there, but every time I went, I would say, I might meet someone here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I did.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking about how I work with some of my clients, Carolyn, mm-hmm. and I tell them that when you go to these events or when you join these classes or religious, spiritual exercise, experiences, that mm-hmm. think about meeting people rather than potential partners. And when
exactly.
that changes your attitude, you're much more likely to meet people and to talk to people.
Yeah, because you're friendly and you're just interested in the people. Exactly.
Exactly. Now, how do you think, Carolyn, dating has changed for you or for everyone from when you were younger? So if you look at when you were dating younger and then dating on this project, what are some differences mm-hmm. and similarities, do you think?
Well, I was thinking the main difference was that older women don't have a lot of time to waste if we really want to find our partner. But then I realized that the younger women usually feel like they have a deadline for having children. And mm-hmm. so they have some of the same pressure to find the right person who would be a father to their children. So that is actually a similarity. But in general, the way I felt, because I just happened to be someone who was not interested in having children, I felt this wide openness my whole life about, oh, the right person will come along and I'll just be with this person and then that person. What it led to me was a lot of short-term relationships. And I had never had a long-term relationship until I found this person. That's what I did. I forgot the question now.
Oh, just about the differences between dating when you were younger and dating now in this dating project.
Well, there's so many. The other thing is the negative messages about older women that you have to counteract in your head. And that's all about, that's why you need support. That's why you need affirmations. That's why you need to remember you only need one. And I just want to say just to get this point in that, the way you would go about dating and taking care of yourself is the same thing you would do if you were living a happy single life. If you don't want a partner, that you want to take care of yourself. You keep doing the activities you like to do. You have support from your friends. You have a full life, and it's having that full life along with dating that will keep you going in dating and also let you be in, also have a great life, because that's
great.
The point.
Yeah,
really the point. But in terms of differences, of course, the whole dating app thing has changed, and I had a little of that. I was blessed to know a lot of people already from these workshops I had done. And so I just really recommend meeting people in person. I mean, here's what I love about dating apps. You can actually specify what you want and who you are. And it's a great exercise in putting out, I think, to the universe, who the type of person that you want to be in a relationship with, and expressing who you are. And so I feel like just get clarity, having that message out there. You might not find someone on the app, but you're clear when you're in other situations of meeting people. And I recommend people. And I just want to do a pitch for taking workshops on relationships as a way to meet people and as a way to learn better relating skills. Because again, I took these workshops that taught me a lot of these dating skills and a lot of like listening and appreciating people and not taking things personally. And so what better way, if you're trying to look for, especially men who who want a relationship and are serious about a relationship, what better place to find them is in a place where they've gone to learn about relationship skills.
Right. Absolutely. I love that plug, Carolyn.
It's a great pool of men
all the time. So I definitely agree with you. I mean, so, not only do you learn a lot about yourself, but like you said, you can meet people in the workshops and, you know, people are there who are interested in learning how to have relationships. So what a great audience or group of people to meet.
Well, they became, for not just partner, but friends. Those are now all my friends. And half my dates were from that group. So I really recommend it.
I love that plug-in. And what a great suggestion, Carolyn. Now, we only have a few minutes left. If there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, what might that be?
I think it's not give up. I think it's persistence. That if you want a partner, and I know a lot of us have this longing to be with a partner, that is to do whatever it takes to keep yourself loving yourself, appreciating yourself, and continuing to be open and looking for someone and to build in that support for a long-term project. But it's the persistence that matters. If you want a partner, I just want to shout out, if you don't, and people can have perfectly wonderful lives without a close partner because they can fill it with friends and other support systems. But if you do, you have to keep going.
You have to have hope. And like you said, build that self-esteem and that confidence, because then you're going to feel better about you and you're just going to attract others to you. Now, before we finish, I have to ask, because you said you did find your partner through this 50 Dates project. Mm-hmm. How is that? Can you say anything about that partner?
I'll say something about him. One is, I wouldn't have recognized him if I'd seen, I've met him earlier in the project. It took me really clarifying what I wanted and who I wanted and the type of person I wanted to when I saw him. He was in my friendship circle. I hadn't even noticed him. and so I finally noticed him, and then I realized he would be right. And so we had to go through the process of really figuring that out. And we've now been together for 10 years.
Wow.
So I feel kind of proud of myself that I was able to say what I wanted and find who I wanted, and that I was really right about that I found the right man for me.
And that's wonderful, Carolyn, and that the outcome was so positive. But I also love that you mentioned you wouldn't have noticed him at the beginning of the project, which really confirms, I think, another important message, and that is that it's a journey of self-discovery. And so as you begin to discover yourself, you begin to know who's right for you. Thank you so much for joining me today, Carolyn. What a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Same here. I love talking to you. Thanks for your great questions and your great responses. I feel like you amplified what I said really well.
Oh, so well, thank you. Absolutely, because I agree with what you said. I love it, Carolyn. Thank you so much. And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Carolyn Lee Arnold or her new book called 50 First Dates After 50, please go to carolynleearnold.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.